New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 6, verse 35, and then verses 41 through 51. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the word of our Lord. Several years ago, when I was working on my undergraduate degree, I was living in Wilmington, North Carolina. And while I was there, I was attending this new startup church. It was a non-denominational church. And one Sunday when I was there, the pastor, who was probably in his early to mid-30s, gave his testimony, talked about how he had become the pastor of this new startup church. So this 30-something pastor talked about how he had gone to college in Tennessee, and he had gotten a degree in architecture. He had met his future wife there. They had gotten married a couple of weeks after graduation. They had kids soon after that. I think they had 5 children. He talked about how they were living the so-called American dream: a large house in a gated community, cars, boats, large and steady, stable income from his architectural job. When the pastor was giving his testimony, he talked about how he had all this stuff. He had the love of his life, he had children, cars, boats, a house, steady income, but yet he felt so dead inside. He felt like there was still some void. None of these things were really feeding any sort of happiness or life into his soul. So that's when he decided to pursue what he had always been passionate about, which was working in ministry. And he had never pursued it before because he didn't think it would provide a steady income for his family. So after talking with his wife, he put in his 2 weeks' notice at the architectural firm, quit his job, and started a church job with one of his friends. And about that time is when I started attending this church. It had just started up, and there was probably 20 people or so that would gather together on a Sunday morning, and we were meeting in an old middle school auditorium. So the church began to grow, and eventually the auditorium was completely full, so then we had to have an overflow room. So they put a bunch of chairs in a room, they put a TV in there so that people could still watch and hear the service. The church continued to grow, so he added another service. The same thing happened. Auditorium was full, the overflow room was full, so he added a third service. And the same thing happened again. People were standing in the overflow room and also in the auditorium. So at that point, he decided to partner with one of the local theaters. They started doing satellite feeds to the theater 3 times each Sunday. About that time, I had finished my undergraduate degree, so I moved back to Virginia. But about 4 years after that, I went back to Wilmington to visit some friends, and I decided to look the church up online and go and visit their new location. While I was gone, the church had purchased a plot of land, and they had built a $4.5 million church on this property. I'm sure the pastor designed the church. It had a coffee house, a bookstore. It had a huge children's wing and a large sanctuary. In the sanctuary, there was a huge stage where the praise and worship band could play, and there was ground-level seating that probably sat about 1,500 people. And then over top of that was a balcony, which probably sat about 1,000 people. And at that point, they were up to 5 different services a Sunday. They're doing tons of international mission trips, tons of outreach in the community. I mean, this church is huge, and it's vibrant and thriving. So while I was there, I talked to Mike, the pastor, and just asked him how he was doing, how things were going. And he said he was the happiest that he had ever been in his life, that he was just so full of life and vigor. And you could see it radiating out of him when you talked to him. He was so full of happiness and just beaming with life and vigor. This is what Jesus means when he says, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty." It is God who gives life to our souls and meaning to our lives. Our true fulfillment and feelings of life and vigor come from God, doing the work of God. Now, not all of us are called to be a pastor or to have a second career as a pastor of a church, but we all have a purpose. We all have a calling on our lives, and it is through answering those calls and doing the work of God that it feeds life into our souls. And as Jesus also points out in this passage, as we receive that life from him, as we receive life by doing the work of God, then simultaneously we are giving life to the rest of the world. A couple weeks ago, I was up in the Thousand Islands region, which is a beautiful area. And if you guys have not been up there, it is most certainly worth the trek up. While I was up there, I decided to walk up the pedestrian footpath of the Wellesley Bridge. And the Wellesley Bridge is a huge bridge. It's a series of bridges that eventually connect the United States to Canada. So I walked up this huge bridge, and I got up to the arch, and I was looking out over the St. Lawrence Waterway, and I was looking at all the islands that you could see, the beautiful houses that line the riverfront, and also the boats that were passing by underneath. And I was kind of fascinated with the boats because they would go by underneath and they would create this wake. And the wake would initially start out as just one wave on each side, but then it would continue cascading out. And there would be three waves, four waves, five or six. Well, another boat would come by and it would make its own wake. And initially it would be just one wave and it would continue cascading out and it would be five or six different waves on each side. The whole river at times would consist of nothing but these ripples as the wakes cascaded out from the middle of the St. Lawrence Waterway and they made their way to the riverbanks. They would crash on the rocks and they would splash water up. As I watched this occurring, I kept thinking about this is what we do in the world. All of us create a wake by everything that we do, everything that we say, the smiles, the handshakes, the way that we treat others. And the wake that we create then cascades out. It makes more and more ripples in the world as it affects people. It feeds life into other people's lives. And then those people go and create their own wakes until there's all these ripples that fill the world. I have a short video that I wanted to show you all real quick. This video illustrates how doing the work of God, helping others, putting others before ourselves, our acts of kindness, our demonstrations of love, it feeds happiness and life into our souls, but it also feeds life into other people's lives. This video illustrates how each thing we do has a ripple effect in this world. It causes other people to mimic our behaviors and our acts of kindness and benevolence, which then they make their own ripples and their wake in this world and so on and so on. According to a recent study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, researchers proved and showed how kindness is contagious. So every time we act kindly to another person, then that person is much more likely to go and act kindly towards other people. Essentially, what the article is saying and what the video portrays is the ripple effect. The ripple effect paints a perfect image of what Jesus means when he said, "I'm the bread of life. Those who eat the bread will gain life. They will also give life to this world." Our true source of life, zeal, and vigor comes from God, doing the work of God. And at the same time, we are also giving life to this world and to other people. May we look to God to be our true source of life. May we all answer the calls in our lives not only to feed and nourish our own souls, but to give life to others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.